Welcome back to Deep Thoughts, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, well, we're at the last three episodes of this particular season. There will be more episodes during the summertime as bonuses, but I can't vouch for how frequent they'll be. We are in the battle for the Republic at this point, right? The deep state organizations have launched the COVID pre-planned, as evidenced by the 2012 London Olympic ceremonies, where they completely showed you what they were going to do with the stage, the shape of a COVID virus, with the Grim Reaper, with dancers playing, patients and nurses and stuff. Fauci saying before Trump got into office that for sure he would be facing a pandemic. Joe Biden last year talking about a pandemic problem, and what is it, October 2019. They all knew this was coming. They all put it together. And then they assume you're so stupid that you can't figure it out. You know, it does take a little bit of help, you know, and people find things and show it to you, and then you find things and you show it to them. Today, this week, last week of May, they are fighting over the censorship, and on social media especially. Now, some people have like 10-year-old thinking that it says, oh, well, a private company has the right to censor however they like. And in some cases, racism, sexual deviance, all kinds of hate speech. Sure. It's got to be really poignant. Evil hate speech. It just can't be. I disagree with what you say, therefore it's hate speech. Nah, can't do it. But here's the precipice that if you cross, you got a bit of a legal issue, which is when you become a utility for society. And I think that we can hands down say that Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, as a matter of fact, it's starting to become a utility. You know, the TV is starting to go to YouTube all the time with these, you know, Android OS TVs. I watch it all the time. And in terms of the precipice between, you know, a private company and a utility for things like Facebook and Twitter, I shouldn't have mentioned Instagram. It barely has anything to do with anything. The big deal here is that when society starts to derive its reality from these platforms to a significant degree, that is where they become, in most classical cases, utilities. Now, utilities in general were like telephones were utilities and electricity was utilities. Well, you probably could say you need electricity to survive a winter or a summer, but you don't need a telephone to survive living. It's just a luxury of communication. So you can see, just for your own mind, there's a bit of a similarity there, if not a great similarity. But what is this episode about? Well, I promised you guys I was going to go through these doppelganger folks that continually show up at multiple events. They look identical, meaning it appears as if some people look like they're the same people between events. We obviously have a name for that. Now, what's interesting about this is that it means something to have a bunch of IMDb actors from around the world all converging at a location that just so happens to have a mass shooting event happen at that place. You know, if it was a mass shooting at an acting agency, it makes complete sense. All these actors are there. They have credentials. They've made movies. They've done things over time. Makes sense. Just was a bad place to be at the, you know, at that particular time. So I did a bunch of research over this last week since I told you guys that I was going in this direction. And there's some interesting things. We're going to have to play dumb on this episode a little bit. So I'm going to play stupid. You're going to know what I'm saying. But that'll insert a bunch of fuzziness for this video getting censored and this channel getting censored and people getting all butthurt and trying to do to this channel what they did to other channels. You know, The one thing that we've misunderstood as the truth movement or slash the Great Awakening is that we haven't calculated that the side that's doing these things would be creating disinformation towards us. I mean, we do and we don't. For instance, when you go and look up crisis actors in Google, you get a bunch of really bad images. So you go over to DuckDuckGo, you get a slightly better group of photographs, but I've noticed something. There are people inserted into photographs that were never in the previous batch when this whole thing came about. Now, a good friend of mine had dinner with one of these folks. It was the gentleman who showed up at 9/11, who was also showed up at the International Airport in Los Angeles, LAX International Airport. He did not have a ticket to go anywhere. He just so happened to be walking around with a backpack, having this total eyewitness thing happen, where he was like, you know, pitching the narrative and things. Very interesting. And what's fascinating about this, because I'm going to get this out very quickly, is I want to get a point out there fairly quick, which is this. You were to forget every single mass shooting that's ever happened. You're not to remember Parkland, Sandy Hook, Boston bombing, all this stuff. You're not to remember that stuff. It should be in the press, right? Any of you that remember the Oklahoma City bombing, by God, we followed that case. We followed McVeigh. We followed him all the way to his execution. He was in the news, videotapes of him. Every time he was hauled from point A to point B, they filmed him. When he had his meetings with the DEA or whatever, it was filmed with this controller guy sitting next to him. But today you're not to remember anything, are you? Because it's flawed and it's got issues. Who knows exactly what occurred? You know what? Any one of these things, we have feelings. We got videos that make us feel like certain things happened. I think the gist of it is that it happened. It smells bad. I think that in some cases, maybe they have only killed the people that they accuse of the crime. So if there's a particular shooter, that person is definitely murdered. And I think as we started to unravel, I hate to say it, as we started to unravel the fraud of what they were doing, they started making the decision to go ahead and kill people in great numbers. But now let me ask you, in the last 15 years, when all these shootings happened, and you know, a ton of them, my God, I don't even know. I think I heard the number over 40 during Obama's administration. Were you allowed to ever forget Charles Manson, who didn't kill a single person, but was blamed for a bunch of hippies taking drugs and going over and killing the Tates and everybody else? No. Were you ever allowed to forget Ted Bundy, Son of Sam, Zodiac Killer, any of these folks? Oh, no. Well, you know what's strange is we've now had shootings in Canada just recently that took away all the guns up there. I don't hear anything about that case, but the guns are gone. Churchland shooting in New Zealand, or Church Christ, whatever that thing is. Didn't hear anything more about that. You know, if you had the videotape of the fake CG footage, because there's two different tapes. It looks like someone released the demo reel, which was for internal use only, where the shells were popping out of the gun and disappearing in mid-flight, you know. I was in video games for 25 years. Anytime we made a gun with shells, you had to program that stuff. They're all over the ground. Anytime you go to a shooting range and someone's popping out shells from a 5.56 or 308, one, they're hot as hell. And they're big rounds. They're big shells. And they should be on the ground. Where when you get done, you need to step very carefully because you could slip and fall on your own rounds, you know, let alone the guy next to you. But the new photos have sewn in people that we have never accused of being a part of this group. And what does that allow them to do? Well, for those of us that are awake, we can see the other ones and then just go, yeah, whatever. That's just some weird person. Someone stuck in the photograph. But we don't need to be awakened because we've already taken the red pill. We take it every day. We've taken a red pill, like almost like a vaccine. We're just awake and there's nothing you can do to put us down besides injuring us or killing us. But it's for anyone that's sitting on the fence who doesn't want to go through this Kubler-Ross, you know, anger denial, negotiation and acceptance. They don't want to go through that phase and then end up where they woke up at 8 o'clock in the morning and the world was great. They had their head in the sand like an ostrich. I guess ostriches do that. And go to sleep at night terrified or can't sleep at night because now they don't know how to, you know, filter this amazing amount of new information that the world is completely different, completely evil. Epstein was just the tip of the iceberg kind of thing, right? So they go to utilities to have their nerves calmed. All they want to hear ever is someone tell them that it's not true. Tell me this is not true. It's not true. Oh God, thank you. So Google's working overtime to make sure that the deep state gets what it wants. They are. I hate to say it. I'm going to read you a blacklist file, a censorship file. Not the whole thing, because it's like, I don't know, 30 pages long. But I'm going to read you what they're blocking from your site. And you'll kind of, through reverse engineering, you'll get the idea that they are indeed participating in cover-ups, because you should be able to get any information about, you know, within privacy respect, about the Manson murders, right? Which again, he wasn't there. But all of those serial killers, how many of people just really get into that kind of stuff? I got a buddy from high school. He gets into it hardcore. He's got a Facebook page where he gets into all the old, you know, gangsters from back in the day. And he loves researching all that stuff. And that's his thing. It's cool. But now imagine him trying to search on that stuff and all of a sudden you can't find anything because it connects over to the Federal Reserve or it connects over to Agenda 21. Well, that's what's going on today. Things are gagged. You can't see certain things. Well, that's not what this country was founded on. It was founded on the Republic, the Constitution, freedom of speech, etc. And you need to brace yourself that any institution can deny anything and we don't have the ability to verify it one way or the other. What I'm about to read from is a PDF that came from the guy that defected from Google and was then held at gunpoint in San Francisco. Took his case to Project Veritas. Now, there's something very interesting. And I didn't have a chance to email Project Veritas and get a response to them before I got this video done. It just occurred to me today, late today, that that's something I should have done if I could have. But they have removed that project from their entire website. You can find legacy links to the Don't Be Evil, separated by underscore dot zip, from the search engines into Veritas's website. It's all gone. I mean, I can understand them taking down the download because it was 400 megs and maybe that creates a big bandwidth problem for them, but there's no story of it anymore. So I need to preface this because I just figured this out before I tell you all this stuff. But this is called the YouTube Controversial, seriously, Controversial Query Blacklist PDF. Inside the file, it's called literally in the YouTube Controversial Twiddler, T-W-I-D-D-L-E-R, Query Blacklist. I had forgotten names of these individuals. The first, I'm going to say, my God, 12, 13 pages of this. This is, I'm going to do a little zoom up on it. It looks like Google is extremely worried about anyone searching on the Las Vegas shooting. If you remember, and I had forgotten the guy's name, Stephen Paddock, S-T-E-P-H-E-N-P-A-D-D-O-C-K, was the shooter. And in the official narrative, right? Now, we can only speculate why there is at least a dozen pages in this document where it's one line, another line, another line, another line. It's little phrases that if you search in Google, they're going to use these phrases to block your search. I can tell you as a coder, I can see class names in here at the very beginning. Who knows if this is fake or real, but this would be a lot of work if it was fake. Now, the true Do Not Be Evil download PDF, or sorry, Zip, excuse me, has tons of presentations that people took pictures of as employees of Google and what have you. But this thing has every, well, I don't know. It has literally dozens and dozens of methods of looking up the attack on Las Vegas. They spell Las Vegas wrong every way they possibly can. L-O-S, V-A-G-E-S, V-A-G-J-A-S-S-S. I mean, it's crazy. You are absolutely not allowed to see the Vegas shooting information. Now, why would they put so much effort into blocking this? Because they have a mistake in it. Super duper mistake. They have Stephen Paddock and then virtually every conceivable search you could have after his name. Stephen Paddock in a room, time of death. Is a Democrat? Is anti-Trump? Is he real? I mean, it just goes on and on and on. I'm still scrolling and I'm still just looking at Stephen Paddock's name. I don't know exactly what page I'm on. Let's see. See if I could find a page number. I'm on 16 of 40. Looks like that's pretty much where it starts to end. So 16 pages of Las Vegas. One line per phrase all the way down. And then it gets to the dude who went on the, the Brooklyn Bridge or the Manhattan Bridge, and he did a shooting. But this goes on and on and on. The Sutherland church shooting, Texas church shooting, Rancho Tahama. I don't even know what these places are all about. Shooter. So essentially, it looks like to me, and now we're at the point where it says bad crisis actors compilation. That's blocked. Crisis actors. Spelled a million different ways. What I'm about to say are the words after, and I'll put this on the screen, crisis actor. So the first two words of every single thing I'm about to say is crisis actor, and then this phrase, right? Caught. Christ Hurst calls boyfriend. Compilation. Crink. Cronk. David Brown. Horror and tragedy. I lost my 20-year-old. Las Vegas. Still in Las Vegas now, right? Now in politics, Oscars 2017, Recycle, Swan Vega. I could just go on for, it'd probably take me 20 minutes just to get through a few pages. You'd be bored to death. So when we talk about censorship from Google, if this document is legit, and I have to say that 100%, if it is legit, then there's some explaining to do, right? Why are you protecting all of these crisis actors? Is that part of your censorship? Is that part of hate speech? Hardly. It's citizens of the United States of America trying to get facts down so they can form a thought in their brain as to who is for them and who's against them. I have a feeling, and this is the reason why I'm dedicating an episode to this today, is that within 2020, especially if Trump wins this year, for the next 4 years after this year, starting next year, censorship will be a gigantic thing, huge thing. If we lose the Great Awakening and we allow them to tell us when we have to wear a mask that doesn't protect us against viruses, for instance, you realize that they have had to admit at the CDC that none of these masks protect us against anything. The N95 mask, if it is fitted to you and put on you in a clean room and you never take it off, yes, right here, you'll be okay. But your eyes will accept all kinds of stuff. Bacteria, I mean, pink eye is all about, right? But again, a bacteria is like the size of your house, and a virus compared to a bacteria would still be a human hair. Compared to the house, right? A molecule versus a single or multi-celled being is just a gigantic order of magnitude different. They're telling us that we have to wear masks everywhere for these businesses that open back up. You're supposed to be able to go to a restaurant, put food in your mouth, but you're supposed to wear a mask at the grocery store? Seriously? They said a long time ago that, gloves were really bad. Gloves just spread it all over the place. But I still see people wearing gloves. They're now estimating that the the death rate is at least 1/10 of what was reported. Suspiciously high in Democratic states, incredibly low in Republican states. And as of tonight, Japan is opening their country back up. They have 126 million people stuffed into an island. I mean, talk about a lack of social distancing. They never shut their country down. And they've only had 869 people pass. And I mean, obviously, if that's accurate, we mourn their deaths. And hopefully it wasn't due to COVID. It was due to something pre-existing condition. I mean, if you had to pick something, at least you could then have closure that your relative didn't pass early due to this mishap in the Wuhan BSO4 lab, right? You know, the other documentary, Plandemic, by Judy Mikovits. She's been trying to blow whistles on Fauci and a bunch of other people. YouTube will take it down the second you upload it. It's over on BitChute, BitChute.com. She was in a previous interview / mini, YouTube video on the ever blooming Epoch Times. And she was with some other virologists and what have you. But this is when they, announced that an S protein had been moved from the 2003 SARS virus over to this COVID. And then, of course, it's got what I believe I've heard up to this point, 3 different patents around the world for this thing that we're suffering from. But they won't allow you to see what she has to say because it's so utterly damning. And what's interesting is imagine that your government doesn't ban anything, but gets accused of banning everything and a dictatorship. You know, this whole thing of accusing Trump of being a dictator and he's setting himself up for a dictator, yet the classical historical truth of dictators from Stalin, Mussolini, Hitler, Mao, Pol Pot, you name it, is a socialism switch to a country, and then they take away all of your rights, like your freedom of speech and guns. This is exactly what the left is doing under Agenda 21. But all the time accusing the one guy that is preserving freedom of speech, preserving guns, and now fighting against censorship. Senator Nunes is doing the same thing. He's got a multi-$100 million lawsuit against various social media outlets. They're going to investigate this. So it's confusing for a lot of people. These pictures that I was talking about that have been traditionally very easy to find, they didn't have people inserted into the pictures that we know weren't there 2 years ago. Allow people to jump into Snopes, for instance, and read based on an erroneous picture with, again, people added to the photographs that we've never accused of being a part of this whole thing. And they're able to show you, well, this person lives here, this person lives there, and they'll show you the different faces. But we have images I'm going to show you of people that have been reported in 2 different places, dying in 2 different locations. One person with 2 different names, most definitely the same exact human being. Why do we have face recognition? Face recognition exists because it is like a fingerprint. No matter how much you think you look like somebody else, your face is a fingerprint. Your voice is a fingerprint, and your fingerprint's a fingerprint. Your DNA is a fingerprint. Everyone getting all of these COVID tests, you're being put in the database. Now, honestly, there's a lot of different things that will get us into the database. I don't know if there's an imperative to update the data. I don't know if they're actually running DNA sequencing systems on all of our DNA to put us in a database. Who knows? I don't know what the point would be. Unless you're a criminal. What I find fascinating is that in this culture, you would almost think it's a joke that if you went up to someone and said, look, you don't think for yourself. You are a parrot of television. You're a parrot of the internet at the same exact location that the television channel broadcast from. You're not doing any research. You're not making up your own opinion. You're not trying to see if within your mind you have any logic circuits whatsoever. You know, I think about 20 years ago, I would probably say that's very slim that anyone has that problem. And the truth of the matter was, I was one of those people 20 years ago. I mean, down to the moon missions, you know, I've been told by two NASA guys that they were, well, at least one of them was debriefed in some form or fashion that this never took place, that they tried to. But they're coming at us full bore. QAnon, he's reading us the news 24/7. Okay. You know, he finds some interesting clips. And again, he does have some very interesting points that he makes in his posts that I think is healthy for us to think about. He's just like a really useful human being, regardless of any claims he might have had about being a part of the Trump administration or the military, NSA. Yeah, just wipe all that out. You know, it's like watching the last Star Wars, Star Wars 9, right? You cannot possibly watch that movie to ingest anything that feels relatively like Star Wars. You can't. You are just watching something in the Star Wars world that has a completely different story than the trilogy that we watched from the 70s to the early 80s. But, you know, what's interesting is I realized there's a bit of a Stockholm Syndrome lesson within the Star Wars franchise. And it has to do with Mark Hamill, who, you know, individually speaking, I'm sure I've always had a lot of respect for him. Why wouldn't I? He hasn't done anything crazy that I know of. Lives in Malibu, has a dog. He's made incredible contributions to fun things his entire lifetime. But, you know, when the first Star Wars 7 came out, he was very public about the fact that they essentially erased him from the script when he is the main character of all 4, 5, and 6. How the hell do you wipe the guy out? He's still alive. Take advantage of him. For some reason, you know, Carrie Fisher, who hadn't been in any major motion pictures for a really long time, looked amazing. You know, she cleaned herself up beautifully. It's so, so sad she's gone. She's pushed right in front of the camera. Hey, maybe you think it's the girl power algorithm, perhaps, but she was always the OG. You know, her and Sigourney Weaver did a great job really providing super strong females on film, but there's never been a shortage of those, in my opinion. Harrison Ford gets a tremendous amount of screen time, right? They pretty much said Harrison Ford's been in the film business since Star Wars, always brought in lots of ticket sales. So let's keep him up there. But Mark Hamill has been doing voiceovers for cartoons. He's just been doing an amazing job. And so obviously when it first came out, he was super duper pissed off. And then of course, we all know he got spanked. Somewhere behind the scenes, he went from a real cantankerous interview, calling the shots exactly the way that we saw them. What the hell is Mark Hamill doing not in the movie? And why is he such a grumpy old bastard in the film? It is so un-Star Wars and so unexplained from 7, 8, and 9. It will never make sense ever, ever, ever. It just won't. Now, he plays the role well. Of course, he shows up for work, as my friend Kyle says. He earns his paycheck. But then, on his personal life, you know, and I'm not trying to make this a big political problem for any one of us, but it's just very interesting if you're, let's say that you and I were aliens, right? We're studying this from the outside. We don't give a crap who's president of any country or anything. We're simply studying the psychological transformation of perhaps peer pressure, financial pressure, other pressures we don't know how to put a word on. And we watch Mark Hamill go from calling it like it is, being really pissed off at his own people, the liberal Hollywood thing. And then all of a sudden, at some point, he gets talked to and he calms down visibly. I mean, maybe you have interviews clear up till today where he's still angry about it. I've never seen one of those, and I've watched hours and hours and hours of Star Wars making of documentaries about these last three films that they just put together. In his personal life, though, he just gets more and more angry at our president. Spends a lot of time yelling at an individual that I don't know if he's ever met him before. I don't know if he's ever had a bad experience with him before. I sort of doubt it. He seems to be opposed to the ideology that is Trump, which is all pro-America. You know, but what's strange about it to me and what's interesting, just viewing it literally, totally objectively, is to say that Mark Hamill made it in the 70s when America was phenomenal. You know, phenomenal. He did, was it Corvette Summers? He got cast on Eight is Enough. Then he gets Star Wars. Then he tries to commit suicide by driving off a cliff between Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back, which is why he got the facial injury in Empire Strikes Back at the beginning to cover for the fact he had a scarred face. Because he was a pristine kid. It actually kind of helped his character quite a bit, I think. Probably psychologically helped him as well. But the world where he would have been cast and written into the movie 7, 8, and 9, unquestionably using him as a main character, you know, onboarding a new young set of replacements would have definitely occurred, most likely. But, you know, they tried to do it with Indiana Jones, with, was it Shia LaBeouf, right? They tried to put him in as a replacement for Indiana Jones. And I think he did a decent job, 100%, with his playing the son. It was a goofy script and, you know, it took a little while to warm up. But eventually, you know, it really felt like, yeah, he could be his kid. That's cool. Instead, we get this ridiculous trilogy. I mean, that last movie was just hodgepodge as could possibly be. The amount of reshoots just to make it have some cohesiveness is phenomenal. But here you have Hamill getting screwed more and more and more in each one of the movies. He gets a pretty decent scene in the second film, number 8, where he just kind of, you know, holds off all these attacking vehicles. Very, very cool. Little scene, you know, but that's it. The 3 movies, that's his big scene. He gets to come back as Obi-Wan Kenobi, glowing. You know, why Obi-Wan Kenobi's nowhere to be seen is kind of strange, isn't it? Obviously, that character's long past. But he finds a way to get along with the group that's screwing him and then be extremely angry at a guy that, if he could get his way, would have returned America back to a very positive 70s sort of, you know, post-Vietnam, probably between like 76 and maybe 88, where everything was just cool. All the Back to the Futures came out, all the Star Wars, all the Indiana Joneses, all those Total Recalls, Diehards, and Terminators all came out. I guarantee you he would have fared better had the group that's against our president had not had such a run of fake collusion accusations, these fake dossiers, all this crazy darkness that's been injected in there. Now, I've been telling you guys that I've been watching these videos. At one point, I mentioned the kid's name. He's a guy from New Zealand. If you just look up New Zealand Travel Channel guy or something like that, you'll find his channel somewhere on YouTube. But there's a really nice guy who runs around and I'll probably put it on the screen for you. But he runs around just traveling the world, and he's endorsed by various travel agencies and other functions, you know, sponsorships and what have you. But he's been to some very dangerous places. And what it shows you is the power of censorship. Remember Marshall McLuhan? I've told you about him several times. I falsely said that he actually lived to be almost 100. That was the other guy. I think Jean Beaujolard was that guy. He lived much longer. I think Marshall McLuhan only lived to be less than 70 years old. But when it comes to censorship, I'm going to repeat myself from previous episodes, but again, we're harvesting all this into one zone here. He said, medium is the message. He said, it's more important that you understand the medium by which you get your information as much as you worry about the information that you get. And so what was he talking about? You know, Marshall McLuhan got to see us go out of radio into television. course, he understands that we went from printing press to telegram up to radio, then to television, then to movies. Actually, movies preceded television, of course. And I think he got a little bit of seeing, you know, computer information going by, of course. He was on the edge of all things. We know that television, for example, operates at least 60 frames a second. All right. They tell you that you have to have 60 frames a second, otherwise you can't see animation on the screen. Well, we know that 60 frames a second strobed into the human mind puts you in an alpha state of suggestibility. When you go to the movies, for nearly 100 years, 24 frames a second was fine to see things animate in the movie theater. So why does the TV need 36 more frames? Today's standards, 29.9 thing, still missing 30 frames. Why can I see things animate in the movie theater at half the frames? Because when you're at home, they got you. The beauty of censorship swelling in 2020 and COVID debuting in 2020 is that you're now able to see how they're trying to manipulate literally pop science into your mind to believe things and fear things that you don't have to fear. Again, anybody who has, you know, again, viruses don't live outside the human body more than a split second. If they're in a spibble of your saliva, they have a little bit of an incubation point. But I think COVID is probably very sparse in the human body as it is, since it's just a common cold anyway. But if you did have, you know, a handkerchief, any of these little cloth masks that, you know, go over your ear, if you don't have a fully sealed N95 mask that's fitted to your face, it mounted on your face in a clean room where you have absolutely no COVID or whatever the hell you're trying to protect yourself from, you can't break the seal all day long. If you break to eat lunch, you got to get a new mask. And a friend of mine said that he was trained in N95 masks, and he said that it's N95 mask that you can wash it up to 5 times. But if you really have a virus, any type of soap or water will definitely kill it. So that makes sense to me. You can wash them and dry them out 5 times. He's literally been trained in that. He just told me that 2 feet from where I'm sitting right now, 2 days ago. But outside of that, one, you're not supposed to wear a mask all day long because you're breathing your own CO2. If you had a balanced pH, which is going to keep you nice and healthy, and you sit with a mask on, even just a crappy cloth one, you're going to rack your pH. Well, guess what? Now you catch everything. You catch the common cold. You catch a bacterial infection, bronchitis or something. If you had pre-existing conditions, you are now going to be in the most unhealthy state your body can possibly be in. It's interesting how, you know, 2 years ago, well outside the envelope of this current event, getting medical science was actually fairly easy. Today, it's nearly impossible. Herd immunity. 60% of your population, if exposed to all things, will keep the rest of the population stable. You'll get exposed to everything. You'll build up antibodies naturally. You'll get COVID and you'll survive. You get it when you're young before you have a bunch of pre-existing conditions that could kill you. Again, you should follow whatever makes you feel comfortable, because stress in itself can mess up your body and your immune system. So if you're sitting there terrified at home, do what you can. But if you're driving around in your car with a mask on, you don't get it. The only thing you could possibly be doing, aside from being completely ignorant of science, is virtue signaling to everyone outside your car that you've really just got it all. You're a good person and they're bad, right? But they've now launched this sort of, you know, this multi-phase process of bringing a state or a country back online. All with, I mean, there's probably some great things in there that I haven't read, but social distancing, bad idea, kills herd immunity. Wearing a mask that's not fitted to your face, and you don't have pre-existing conditions, you're in that 0.02% chance of dying of it, right? Well, then what are you doing? What are you doing? Because influenza is way harder than that. And we never worn masks. We never destroyed the economy. We never destroyed so many small businesses in world history than we have in 2020. We've destroyed careers. We've destroyed moments. Now, at the same time, I can definitely vouch that I have become closer with some really good friends of mine, and it's a beautiful thing. So, you know, we have to figure out a way to recover financially. You know, when your state says you can't make money, when your state says your employer can't even open their doors, and, you know, there's this facade that everyone can work from home at major corporations, and that's simply not true. You have to have human beings in the same room, I think, for the way more than 50% of the time for us to actually function. And not everyone is, you know, up on Zooming everything and chatting everything. And there's that old law of reality, which is out of sight, out of mind. It just doesn't work. That's why we have buildings. That's why we get together. That's why we do what we do. Censorship has, you know, a massive impact on the human mind. You know, the sort of low-hanging problems that it creates for us is we can't get information that's accurate about our world. Supposedly, we're in a crisis situation, and corporations that have no business getting into what we see, right, are gagging you from getting potentially life-saving information. The fact that hydrochloroquine is being used all over the world, and where it's being openly used, they're having 100% recoveries from everything. Again, I got a really close friend of mine. His wife took that. She has lupus, and she took it for 30 years, people. 30 years. If there's any side effect, this woman has already a compromised system with pre-existing conditions. It was only after 30 years of taking hydrochloroquine that they said, you got to be careful because your kidneys are really weak and you are ingesting, you know, something that is fighting off an infection, and it can get to a point where it stresses. When it processes out of your body, it's going through all the tubes in your kidneys, and it can stress your kidney, which has already got an issue. But if you don't have a kidney issue, if you don't have a pre-existing condition, it seems as if these countries are just clearing it out. Was it Tanzania is open again? The Tanzanian president, you know, said, send me some COVID test kits. And he tested on a goat and a fruit, like a mango, I think, or something. All right. No, it wasn't a mango. I forgot what it was. It tested positive. Okay. So now he's banned masks and he's brought his country back online. China, you know, Japan's going back online. We recovered fairly quick. And now China's like, oh gosh, we have a second wave over here. What's interesting about my position is I've got at least one person on who's very close to me who lives over there. And so I get updates, you know, and we're not, you know, this person, he lives very close. He lives in the neighboring town to one of the earliest towns that has been supposedly reported as the second wave. So he has access to tons of people. He's not seeing this. I know some of you live over there too, I believe. And it would be interesting to hear what you're hearing. But what's the other big psychological damage that's created by censorship? Well, outside of misleading you into your own demise by demonizing treatments that will be 100% effective for your illness and keep you from dying, I mean, that's heresy, isn't it? Let's say you're not like us. You're taking a blue pill every day. And now all of a sudden, every piece of information that you get is actually not only censored, but what makes it through the filter of the censorship is a lie. Now you're setting up in your mind. All of the cause and effect models in your mind are completely wrong. You think something is going to cause you to die. Something is going to cause you to get sick. Someone walking by you without a mask is going to instantaneously infect you. So now you're getting super stressed out. You're hiding in your house. People very close to me who bought this hook, line, and sinker, and they got to almost suicidal levels. And these individuals don't watch the show, but they almost got to suicidal levels. Got into panic-stricken modes. One person I know hadn't been drinking for years, is a recovering alcoholic, went on binge drinking and managed to hide it from their spouse for weeks. And I think we can probably deduce quite scientifically, all based on lies. What if this person hadn't made it? What if this person drank themselves toxic and died? What if this person decided to kill themselves? All because of censorship. They weren't allowed to freely look up information and create their own opinion about things. Let's say that you're a good statistician. You're a good logistics person. You're a good debater. You can really think things through beautifully. I mean, you're a genius. Let's just say that much, right? Okay. But if all the information you have in your mind is crap, then all those talents go to waste. And the more that you carry those falsehoods forward, and you're having conversations with people, and you're attempting to, quote unquote, help somebody, but every piece of information you hand over is going to compromise their immune system, going to compromise their health. You're going to get them perhaps addicted to news sources that are absolutely erroneous, super censored, super propagandized. Then they've neutralized that individual to be essentially an agent of evil without them even knowing it. And the thing is if you were to actually look through the magic mirror at them and see what they actually look like in their reflection, they're actually a good person inside. They're really trying to do their best. They're just super gullible because perhaps they've had a privileged life. No one's ever screwed them over their entire life until right now. And so they can't imagine anyone telling them a lie. I have a friend of mine who is diving super duper deep into the Epstein thing, following it on a daily basis, trying to watch every single special that comes out from all around the world, from television shows, trying to get them, you know, translated so they can read about who's where, what, when, all this other stuff. And what she has come up with is that, you know, she's keeping account of all the women that have come forth, which are a lot of women. And we are effectively showing them today, at least as of the current mass arrests or the lack thereof, that there is no justice. You can get trafficked. You can get raped a million times, forced to sleep with royal family members like Prince Andrew. And there's no justice whatsoever. There's a different grade of person. They're better than you, and they have the right to rape you. Well, what's really, really strange about it is that the group that tells you that they're all for the feminine movement and they're going to protect you and all your rights, they seem to be completely absent. And that's what's frustrating my friend. She's saying, where are all these activists that always march outside of, you know, various organizations that don't believe what they believe? They have all this time and energy to get organized to do basically ineffective protests, but never helping a victim who is literally a victim of the things that they say that they can't possibly allow on this planet. I think the answer to why that's occurring is what I just told you. When all of the information you take inside your mind is all pre-censored, meaning you have triggers in your system, Pavlovian triggers in your system that will rile you up and get you to defend something, right? Remember the stories I told you when I was studying, this is going to sound funny, but, you know, it was Eagle Claw Kung Fu out of San Francisco. The teacher said to this woman, it was our first day, and had this big dude in their room. And he told her, he goes, you can do anything this guy you want. Just don't poke him in the eyes. And he had her come at her and she just absolutely crumbled. I mean, he was so formidable, gigantic. She just couldn't even conceive of hitting the guy back. And so he said, okay, you literally got an A for what you just did because I needed you to demonstrate that that's how we all behave in a default situation. But he says, let me wake up a trigger in you. He said, do you have any kids? And she said, yes, I got two kids. He says, do you have any nieces or nephews? Oh, yes, I got a bunch of them. It was a Chinese woman. And he was Chinese, of course. And he goes, okay, I want you to imagine now. He resets the guy back to the side of the room. He goes, I want you to imagine. He goes, explain to me what your kids look like. And so she started, you know, how old? Oh, so about this high, about that high. Okay, let's just imagine. He literally painted in her mind the ghosts of these kids in the room. And now he said, okay, here's what's going to really take place in this scenario. And he did it beautifully where he locked her mind into this. He didn't let any of us talk or anything. And so here comes this dude. He says, he's coming after your kids. He doesn't care about you. He's going to snatch one of your kids and walk off. Remember how you just cowered down? You didn't even do anything? Well, now I want you to imagine he's got your daughter, your youngest. I think she had like a 3 or 4 year old. He's got her in his arm. He's going to do whatever he wants with her. And oh my God, this dude walked towards her. It was, you know, kind of silly, but, you know, she went for a kick in his crotch and did some of the other things he had just recently showed us. And it triggered her because why? She had a different perspective. She had a little more information. She had more context. But what if all that was censored away from her? And in addition to not bringing up that trigger for her, the mass media that we have today says, you're weak. You're a woman. You can't do anything. Training? What's training? You're not to get any training. You're just to remain weak. Because these politicians, these royal family members, these corporate heads, they get to pick and choose from your children. All of you people out there that post your little kids up there on social media. I've been telling people this for 10 years before this show ever existed. I said, stop posting like your little vulnerable kids, man, because you're posting a catalog that they get to shop from. Because I don't care where you live in this world. If they want your kid, they will get your kid. And that's the game. I want to have sex with you, that little girl right there. Make it happen. Here's, I got infinite money. Go ahead and make it happen. We've identified for sure. And I'm going to call out some OG folks that have been trying to do this for decades. But at least for the last 3 years, through at least the QAnon movement, whether he's fake or real, doesn't matter. People have uncovered the fact we've got a huge human trafficking problem. We've uncovered statistics like 800,000 people, kids, 17 or below, disappear in the United States of America alone per year. 800,000. Adjusted for kids that could run away, which are 12 and up, you still have over 50% of those kids. Were you telling me a 3-year-old's on the street? Yeah, not likely. Kidnapped, sold, harvested, whatever they're doing to these kids. It's happening in droves. Well, you would think that if we've uncovered an epidemic of this, that the mass media, if they cared about you whatsoever, would be focusing your attention on mechanisms by which we could protect our children, analyze our neighborhoods to make sure we don't have these predators running around. You know, just getting to know your neighbors alone is a great method of figuring out what's going on. Venezuela, Brazil, probably at least half a dozen countries in Africa, a few countries in the Middle East, they've all taught us what it looks like to have a censored world. And you have to always equate censorship, this raw kind of censorship where it's normal information getting censored. It's really equating to you saying, I'm losing my rights. I'm losing my rights, right? We have now had, over the last 4 weeks, the CDC has quietly rejected virtually everything that they ever said. Their predictions have all been rejected because they didn't happen. All of the methods to keep you safe have been rejected. Masks have literally been deemed incapable, in most cases, of protecting you against the virus, even if someone's like right on your mouth, like you're kissing and you both have masks on, you're breathing in each other, because that's about as close as you'd have to be to get a live virus out of your mouth into someone else's mouth. They even said at the president conference one day with Fauci in the room and Burks right behind him, that if you were to get it in your mouth and you can swallow it, your saliva and your digestive acids in your stomach will shred it to pieces. So why would you ever wear one? Why would you ever wear one? Again, if you're in a 0.02% chance of dying of something, again, if you're older and your doctor says, look, you get this, you might die. It's a whole different game. You need to get the fitted mask. You need to really kind of stay away from folks. You can still go outside. Just don't get around people, you know, be careful. But there sure seems like there's a lot of wag the dog going on right now. We have a guy running for president on the Democratic ticket who is in literally the free fall of dementia. He is like, if he was your grandfather or your father, for instance, and your friends were to ask you, how's your dad doing? You would literally be in that stage where most of you known someone like this, if you haven't already experienced it yourself, and you just go, well, he has good days and he has bad days, but he mostly has bad days. He really has a bad train of thought. He can't remember anything. He literally can't remember anything. He can't remember who he's running against. He says he's running against himself half the time. You know, he misquotes a bunch of stuff. Statistics just go into the trillions. You know, it's like he'll say we've lost 1 billion people in the United States. You know, I mean, he's just nuts. He's in that free fall. Liberal press gets him in an interview and asks him ridiculous softball questions that almost doesn't matter if he even answers the question. And this is being offered to you as a candidate in the United States of America as a potential leader of the free world. With the biggest standing army in the entire planet. Russia's not too far behind us, of course, but I'm just saying that's a lot of power for a guy who doesn't have the ability to remember where he is. What's the subject that you just asked him? Even given cue cards, this guy cannot read them to you and maintain a thought. His brain is short-circuiting. Now, we're all anticipating a replacement before the ticket ends, right? They're trying to use this COVID to do several different things to you. One, erode your constitutional rights permanently, an Agenda 21 thing. Two, they want to vaccinate you with some Bill Gates vaccination. Bill Gates has already told you he's trying to reduce world population, the whole world, 10 to 15% in his 2010 TED Talk. Okay, well, there's no methodology suggested by modern science where a vaccination reduces world population. It would have to give you an epiphany in your mind of not having as many children as you might want to have through some, you know, again, some neo kung fu learning thing where you just get jacked in the back of your brain and boom, you got a career in mind instead of being a parent for six kids, you know. They want to put a chip in your body. Just so you have a little ID thing inside you. Then they got you in the computer. Well, again, the ticket says, for the last 3.5 years, the whole thing is that the Liberal Party has said that, you know, that the Conservative Party was going to start a bunch of wars that never happened. Plenty of opportunity, but it never happened. But every single time Trump tries to take troops out of the Middle East or any other place in the world, that Liberal Party protests and tries to stop him from taking those troops out. But they're supposed to be the Nobel Peace Prize party, right? These are things you have to pay attention to. They're going to affect your world. They're going to affect what you know as reality. They're going to turn any modern country on the planet into a Venezuela, into a Brazil. And remember, dial back to the Wayback Machine just 10 years ago. 10 years ago, Venezuela and Brazil were doing just fine. And within 10 years, much less than that, they turned the place upside down. So naive Americans think, oh, that could never happen here. Oh, really? I guarantee you it can happen here, and it's already started. And censorship is one of the key mechanisms used by all dictators, all socialistic dictators, controlled information. How many of you heard a story where someone is taken away in the middle of the night? In North Korea, Kim Jong-un is a bad dictator because he takes people who protest against the state and he puts them in those concentration camps if he doesn't kill them on sight. China does it too. The other only fully 100% communist country on planet Earth. Like, everyone's tried it. Everyone says this doesn't work, and they're still sucking on that tit, you know? Well, China, you get thrown in prison, and then you get your organs harvested randomly one day. AKA killed. Okay. What's the censorship doing? It's trying to keep China 100% approved in the people's eyes. We like the fact that there's, you know, slave labor over there. We like the fact that there's organ harvesting over there. We like the fact that their country lies 24/7 every time they open their mouth. We like that. It's awesome, right? And how is it that all of these organizations that control social media have all basically turned against the country, turns against the constitutional rights? Remember, wasn't it DARPA that canceled a project the day that Facebook went live? And that project was all about creating a facial recognition social media system. What's the replacement called? Facebook, a book of faces. And all these things that these suckers fall for, man. What would you look like 20 years from now, right? And you use their app and then they learn how your face would age, right? And then they kind of got you, right? Now, the truth of the story is that once they have one photograph of you, they can run that app themselves. They don't need you to help them. But they want, what they're doing is they're running big machine algorithms on every single photo you put of yourself online, figuring out how it changes. And it's getting super duper smart. I was watching a Blender conference by the Blender Guru guy at the Blender.org summit they had. I think it was about 3 years ago, 2017. And he showed a collage. Actually, no, just like a yearbook sort of page with, I don't know, a couple dozen faces on it. And he was trying to show you this machine learning methodology of creating assets in 3D. And he goes, every single face you see up here, and they look great. They look absolutely fantastic, fully real. He goes, these people aren't real. All this has been created by harvesting celebrity eye sockets and faces and mouths and shapes and hairs. My God, it was perfect. And maybe they create more crap than they create good, but all they have to do is filter it out. Now, one of the exercises that's, I think, fairly valuable for your mind, although it could be fairly tormenting, and this is really for red pill people only, especially if you've read Brave New World by Huxley, which I believe is like 1937, somewhere in there. Imagine that they win. You don't put your skin in the game. You never raise the issue because you're afraid of being unpopular with your friends or whatever. That's not what red pill people do. But I'm just really talking about the folks that sort of sit on the fence forever, right? The way that you parse this in your mind is the following. Every single thing that we're catching them do right now, the adrenochrome stuff, the child trafficking, human trafficking, every single dark thing that you have ever heard in your life, it's illegal today. But if they win, it'll be legal. If Rosa Corey's concerns that she is the utter world expert on Agenda 21 in terms of being a nefarious project, right? You take everything that she's been warning us about for 15 years, and you let that become true. 97% of the world's population gone. Of the 3 to 1% that's left, depending on where they start the number from, might be a lot different when you have a kid. Could be you have a kid and they're taken away from you right away. And they just become toys for people. Any of us that think for ourselves, well, our DNA would be wiped out if we weren't them. And I'm willing to bet, you know, the interesting thing is there have been countless situations in the world I've heard in personal scenarios, and then some of those like old gangster stories. I met a guy in Las Vegas once who, boy, man, was he full of a bunch of stories. I met with him several nights in a row. Amazing guy. But he said that one of the patterns that these nefarious people never realize, because they are so stupid at their fundamental core levels. They're so stupid. Let's take a shill like Adam Schiff, Nadler, Pelosi, Schumer, all these people, everyone involved with the Mueller situation, including Mueller himself. There's a romantic sort of Hollywood thing that says you stay loyal to the Godfather and then he keeps you close. As long as he's got things that he needs done that you do. And a Godfather romantic, you know, Scarface kind of storyline. I say romantic, you know what I'm talking about? A drama-based story. Maybe you're moving drugs for them. Maybe you're moving people for them, kids for them. Maybe you're killing people for them. And these individuals who do this, they think inside their brain, I am extra protected. I am the most loyal right hand or left hand of so-and-so, way up above. When the game is finished, any maneuver for power is finished, the competition has been eliminated. There have been countless situations, and you ask anyone who's ever spent any time in prison, they'll tell you this right to your face. There's no loyalty among thieves. What ends up occurring is that these individuals get slaughtered because the people at the top are paranoid, right? That whole Castro paranoia thing. Was it Columbo did this amazing Castro Twilight Zone where he became insanely paranoid? This is a classic arc that has really occurred across time, all time. Every king, every queen, every general has gone through this, at least, every country that's ever had these people have had one person at least go freaky. And they start killing all of the underlings because they say to themselves the following phrase: if you are willing to spite your own kind to help me, then you're a piece of shit. And then it's just a matter of time before you're going to kill me to get all my stuff. And so I'll kill you first. So this has happened several times in history. It is my estimation that with all of the robot technology that's being rapidly developed out of Boston Dynamics, that the one group that these pedophile-ridden ruling class individuals will trust is a fleet of robots to tell us everything that we can do and everything that we can't do. You will be bred out of your ability to have empathetic maternal feelings for your kids. If they can do it, they'll try to do it. No, I don't honestly think that's very easy, but boy, they'll try it. You have been told several times that when you are a voting citizen, you are sheep. When you are a soldier, they think of you as cattle, right? So either way, both animals are led to the slaughter, right? Don't think for a second that letting them get their way is ever going to turn out to be anything other than pretty much hell on earth. And that's not an exaggeration to make you go my way. Most of you have been confronted with the decision about getting a forced vaccination for this COVID situation. That's why all the liberal states in the United States are trying to lock down their people for as long as they possibly can. Now they're luckily reporting out of Britain that the amount of people with COVID is starting to vanish so quickly that they're not going to have enough people to conduct a thorough trial. I think there's one vaccination they're trying in England, and they're basically saying it's got a 50-50 chance of actually producing antibodies in your body. Oh, great. And these poor people who are just ignorant of what the vaccination has in it, I don't know. Are they going to go back? What if you're in the 50% that doesn't go back? You just got mercury, aluminum, and formaldehyde in your system, among a bunch of other toxins and detergents in your body, of course. And then you're going to go back for a second round because it didn't work the first time. Oh, here's your $100. Let's say they gave you $1,000 to test out a vaccination. $1,000. That's nothing. £1,000. Pound sterling, right? 1,000 euros. You could get something done with that kind of money. No matter where you live, you can do something with that. But they're buying your brain away from you, right? There's the funny scene in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy where these mice that in the story ran planet Earth want to buy Arthur Dent's brain because it might have the question of life, the universe, and everything in it. And they're trying to buy his brain off of him. And it's right in your face, right? Of course, he's not going to sell his brain. He, you know, and Zaphod's like, oh, don't worry about it. We'll just get you a real simple brain that just says what? And something about getting tea or something like that, right? A few of my friends have said this. Two of my friends have actually said this in different conversations. And I don't believe they've talked to each other. But they said something really profound, which is that in previous wars that we have fought, at least we could look across the battlefield and see them wearing the other country's flag. The red cloak, red coats, the Nazis, the whatevers. We could at least see them and go, there they are. Maybe we lose, maybe we win, but there they are. Today, it's a stealth war. And it's coming at you from so many different angles. It's daunting, isn't it? Trying to get decent information about a particular event that's starting to rip a country apart. That's rough. You're seeing them in the United States of America try to start one of the most classic methods of voter fraud that we have had to deal with every single time we've had an election. And they try to make you believe that because the military votes by mail, that's the same exact thing as the citizens voting by mail. It's a completely different pipeline, okay? Army votes are counted and delivered very strategically, and they're protected by the army. They get counted. They get, you know, there's probably a little bit of fraud, but not much. But all residential mail-ins have always been used by the Democrats to have hundreds of thousands of people vote who are dead. People vote 6 or 7 times. They use it to throw the election every single time. You know, I mentioned Pelosi and San Francisco. Everybody knows San Francisco is screwed. San Francisco, in terms of first world country status cities, and I used to live up near San Francisco for 12 years. It has been bad for a very, very long time. I never put the two together. Who's your senator in this area, you know? But she's been a senator there since 1993. I got there in 91. It was fairly decent in 91. San Francisco was pretty cool. By the time I left in 2002, it was atrocious. And I immediately got my clients there from LA. So I'd fly up to visit my clients. And it was in a cascading fall of homelessness and outrageous rent prices and all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's just getting gutted up there. Well, now you're telling me that everyone who's in that group continually votes for Nancy Pelosi? Really? You go into the voting booth, you got options. You got options when you know, there's other Democrats running against her. Why not just at least switch votes at least one time? Maybe you switch and it gets even worse and then you switch back. But why not jump ship and go ahead and try someone who's red? Just see, right? When I got here in California, a friend of mine told me he was Armenian. The governor, whose name is really difficult to say, in 1987 in California. A buddy of mine, who just sat here the other day talking about the mask certification. He grew up here. He grew up in Garden Grove. He's 53 years old. He saw the whole thing, 53 years of California development. He said, look, that governor in 87 was the best governor that he's ever seen run California. And when I told you I got here in 87, this place was euphoric. Any of you who've ever seen California in the movies back in the 80s and you thought, man, it would be really fun to live there. All the rock and roll bands, all the art and all the crazy Malibu beach parties that were, you know, and there was some funky stuff going on, but there's a lot of good stuff going on as well. That's exactly the way the state was in 87. I mean, I was at least in LA, okay? But San Francisco, Silicon Valley was exploding. All these legendary companies we have today, well, they cut their teeth in the late 80s, right? So you had Apple, went through a bunch of transitions. They were really, really early. Look at Intel, sunk their teeth in that place. Now they're the standard processor of the world. That all happened during these watches. But how is it that a vote is thrown and the people believe it. The people don't suspect that the vote was thrown, but it was thrown because of censorship and propaganda. And by the way, I had it reported to me. I think I just blurbed a little phrase out that was incorrect because of the 1950 show called Clue. I think that's what it's called, right? I believe that was the name of it. It was a show where you had to guess certain things, and they found out later that the show was fixed, and it really was a huge thing for America. They passed a law that says that propaganda and lying cannot be broadcast on TV. And then somebody told me that Obama actually turned it back, that it was turned off during Bush's administration, that was turned back on during Obama's administration. And I just read a whole report the other day that it was actually turned off during Obama's administration. It's actually okay again to put propaganda on TV. Known lies to sway opinion. Well, I don't know why Trump hasn't passed that again, you know, the other way. You get caught lying, you're liable for damages, defamation, all that stuff, right? Now, you still have recourse in case someone says something about you. But it should just be. But if the other 49 states hear that San Francisco voted for Nancy Pelosi one more time, the propaganda and the mass media will let you know that that's exactly the way that everyone voted, that San Francisco is 1,000% blue. It'll never be anything other than blue. And I don't personally know. No. So that's a God fact. We all won't know because people don't always say what their beliefs are, especially when there's a tumultuous situation where you're pressured not to like a guy that may be improving the value of your 401k, might be improving the funding to streams of employment that otherwise wouldn't be available without a strong dollar, without a strong stock market, etc., right? So, you know, it's I'm going to give you, I got about, you know, an inch left on this stick here, but it's like one of these things where there's the Twilight Zone with Burgess Meredith, and there's another Twilight Zone that has the archetype is this. There's a Twilight Zone where this dual-headed alien messes with the electricity on a street, and everyone goes crazy on the street, and they even murder a neighbor with a gun because they're so paranoid. And then the episode ends where they talk to these aliens and like, wow, just with a little bit of power change in the neighborhood, these people lost their minds. Burgess Meredith played a role, and it's named after the guy's name. I can't remember the episode's title, but it's about him getting a strength boost. And I just talked about this the other day in one of my episodes, but a little teeny tiny change that you think would be a positive can turn out to be a profound negative. And so letting a little bit of censorship go by means you really buy the whole farm. You buy the whole thing. Every repercussion of censorship within a community, within a society, goes to maximum level right away. There's no such thing as a little bit pregnant, right? A little bit dead. A little bit terminally ill. You know, these things are 100%. The depth at which this state that we're in 2020, how do I put this? The depth at which we are being attacked mentally is as close to what they can conceive as maximum as can be conceived, and it's being implemented. I reported, I don't know, 3 or 4 episodes ago, there's a gentleman who's now circling sort of the interview track around the world, and he's a former transsexual. And as far as I understand, he was more of a crossdresser than a person who altered his body in any way, shape, or form. But he is now seeing so many of his friends commit suicide. Like dozens and dozens of his friends. And he was probably in his 50s, I would guess. But he's been through so many of these funerals that now he's saying, look, there's something wrong with this whole thing. he says there's a strange phase that people do all of these changes to their body. If you're a man, they cut their junk off. If they're a woman, they get forced breast removals. They take a bunch of drugs. They grow a lot of hair on their body, whatever. They take their hair off, whatever it is. They go the opposite route. But he has seen so much fatality due to suicide. I think it was like 28 times the suicide rate among transsexuals who've actually changed their gender, right? Reassignment surgery. But he's trying to get people to not do it so quickly, like give it some thought before, like spend some decades. I got a really close friend of mine in high school who has, I think, completed quite a bit of the reassignment surgery, but he's 50. He's 50 or more. So he's had decades to think about this. I interviewed him once and he was very forthcoming and I really appreciate it. He said, you know, because I asked him, I said, because I knew him. I mean, he was like a very masculine guy, very good looking dude. He got married. He had his kids. He had some beautiful daughters, two beautiful daughters. But I said, you know, I've known you for a long time. I said, when did you know? And he told me, he said right away, he just goes, you know what, honestly, I've always known. I've always known my whole life this wasn't me. And it was, you know, surprising to obviously hear that, but I know that he's a very intelligent person and he's even had like a near-death experience. Like he had a heart attack once. And so he's seen kind of the whole gamut of life. So when he does it for me, you know, I think that it's like thinking about getting your first tattoo and you get it at 50, but you've been thinking about it for 30 years. You want that tattoo. You know, you're probably going to really like the tattoo and you probably won't regret it. Ever. But I just got a call tonight from a friend and she was telling me that one of her associates from a previous job has an 18-year-old daughter who just had her breasts removed and she's going through the full system of change. And this is the exact demographic that this guy is talking about. Now, I think most of my listeners are fairly sophisticated individuals. I've never met anyone that wasn't sophisticated through chat or through comments or what have you, on average, at least the consistent people that keep coming back, you know, one-offs every once in a while. But I think most of us know that 18 years old, our perception of forever doesn't exist. We don't know what it's like to do something forever. I got my first tattoo at 23. It was religious. It was Christianity based. And as much as I have a complete respect for the Christian religion and what it teaches, its moral base makes really good people. I decided that, you know, this wasn't really where I put my belief system. And thankfully, it kind of distorted a little bit. So I tattooed something on top and tattooed something on top of that one. And it turned out really nice. It's really great. But even at 23, with a bunch of really intense accomplishments under my belt. I was a super professional at 18. You know, I was doing stuff. I was side by side with adults. Everyone thought my class ring from high school was my college ring. I mean, you know, I carried myself mentally at a point where other adults couldn't figure out how old I was. I mean, they thought I was 24 or so and I was only 18. The amount of pimples on my face should have given them a clue. So we're not supposed to say anything against that. You know, we're not supposed to say even that we have a concern about how our society is being changed. But I can't possibly erase the notion that I will believe for the rest of my life that that 18-year-old girl who is now becoming a man, have we kept her away from social media, kept her away from all the news, all of the pressures to do something to be cool, right? To be unique. Maybe they wouldn't have made that decision so early. Do I believe people are born and feel like they're in the wrong sex? Absolutely. I got plenty of friends that have that feeling. They haven't made any physical changes to themselves, but that's how they feel. One of my friends is one of the most beautiful females you'll ever meet. And she'll tell me to my face, it's kind of like Deep Space Nine with It was the actress Terry Farrell played Dax, and she was playing a symbiont where she would have a little kernel of a personality literally physically put inside of her body. And she was a guy in the previous life, right? So the whole show, she's talking about having been this, the effect, Benjamin Sisko would call her old man because he was friends with the previous being that she was, you know, at least that this little nugget inside of her was, right? I talked to my friend and she goes, you know, and I just want you to know, she goes, I pretty much feel like I'm a black man. She goes, that's just what I feel like I am. And she's like an Italian, just an exotic looking woman. So it's just really interesting. It's very much like I'm Benjamin Sisko and she's Dax, right? And so it happens, but she goes, but I love my femininity. I love who I look, what I look like. And she takes real good care of herself. And so that happens. But now let's say you were the parents, and I got a buddy of mine who's dealing with this right now, and he loves his daughter and he, you know, he just 100% supports her. What else could you possibly do, right? But, you know, it's one of these things, if you were the parent, and sometimes these people get married too, and their spouse is the opposite sex, and then this starts to happen during the relationship, and you're like, hey, I don't want to be married to a dude. What are you doing, right? But it's one of these situations where you want to remove all of this influence. And then if it occurs, we're all much more on board. We're all, you know, look, you weren't influenced by anybody. This was 100% you looking in the mirror like my buddy, right? And, you know, I really think my bud, he made the decision himself. I mean, this is a fairly recent thing of maybe the last, I'd say, 5 years. He's been making these changes. And think about the balls it takes to do this, man, because, you know, you just worry about what society's going to think. We cannot allow truth in this world, or the option of an untruth, the option to be censored out of our view. It just so happens that when we find things that are conclusive and we're not allowed to believe them, there are some serious problems with our society. For instance, if I were to call this show something something 9/11, Google's going to put underneath the video a link off to the official story of 9/11 to make sure that whatever I tell you is deprecated if you happen to believe the link down below. Physics defies that day. It simply does. There's a ton of disinfo out there, but physics defies the official story. Nothing you can do about physics. It is what it is. We can test physics in a laboratory. You can test physics in your living room. We could test it right here on, I could take a pencil and crack it. And we could talk about tension that I'm putting on this wood with a little, you know, it's not lead, but the carbon inside of it, right? And you can figure all that stuff out, when it's going to crack, whether or not I can crack it. It's all figured out. But you're not allowed to believe the truth. With this COVID thing, we have so much pop science going around to create fear and uncertainty, to get a vaccination in your body with a chip and a tattoo. What world do you want to live in, man? What world do you want to live in? Because there's no such thing anymore in 2020 of me telling you that some point in the future, all this is going to come down. It has always been on top of us, but right now it is on top of us at a level that is, we're well inside the envelope of their go time, of their go plan. What does it come down to, though? Honestly, it comes down to all of us becoming informed, trying to get every single citizen that's not a politician, a corporate person, a pedo, a trafficker, a drug person, get everyone red-pilled. Did you possibly can? What we want is a society whereby when a crime is committed, it sticks out like a sore thumb. Instantaneously. One of these things is not like the other. Instantaneously. What if you could go to South Central LA and convince everyone in some meeting that selling drugs and any other illegal activity is destroying their neighborhood instead of building it up? And then we give them a vision that if they follow these certain plans, and we supply resources and what have you, we get the whole neighborhood set back up again. Everyone's going to school. Everyone has the option of college if they want it. We got trade schools waiting for them if they want to learn computers or robots or fixing a car or making clothing or making soap, whatever they want to do, right? And they start to see daisies grow for the first time in a long time. Plenty of families pull it off. I don't even know how they do it, but they do struggle and they do get their kids off to college and they become amazing people out of those neighborhoods. But you can talk to these ex-inmates. There's a great channel on YouTube called Fresh Out with Big Herc. And he is this amazing man. And he's got Badger too. I just love these two guys. I'm going to try to get Herc potentially interviewed over the summertime. He actually lived in Huntington Beach, I believe. But we get a neighborhood cleaned up. And then one kid starts selling drugs on a corner. One kid. All of a sudden we see riffraff coming by to buy the drugs. Instantaneously, within hours, if not minutes, this neighborhood can descend on that situation, clean it up, get that kid out of there, smack him around, get him all reeducated, what have you, or at least get him out of there. Maybe he's not from there, right? This is a small example of what we need to do to the entire planet. Because after society wakes up and during the wake-up process, we got to start electing people that are red-pilled. They probably, you know, in the short term, can't say they're red-pilled. I think Trump is very, very, very red-pilled. And so, you know, he can't even admit it himself. If he thought COVID was a hoax, he can't say it. If he did. I don't know if he thinks it's a hoax or not. But he couldn't say it if he did. Because we're not red-pilled enough in this world to have that be an acceptable phrase. Because we have relegated ourselves to these world organizations that don't invite the world to show up. Well, then there's all this pressure coming in. Because mass media is all Mockingbird out, right? CIA Mockingbird mid-50s project has always been in action now. We'll do a little bit of math. We're 20 years into this century. It was 45 years into the other century. So we're 65 years into Project Mockingbird. By the 70s, they estimated, I think in a Senate hearing, the CIA had to admit that they were 700 to 1,000 people on their payroll. All the biggest pundits who talk on TV are all bought out. And again, I'll warn you, Fox News is about 50% deep state. At the smallest percentage, and the rest of it is like, you know, maybe an Anderson Tucker or Hannity still trying to fight the good fight. But they know they get diluted. Someone reads the front page. And the way that you know that Fox is not on anyone's side, I mean, I'm just speaking to people that think that perhaps that that's a decent place. I think most of you know it's not, but they will still report official narratives and fear mongering constantly. Right? They don't go into, like, one day they'll report that Fauci said that masks don't work. And then the next day you can't find the article, you know? So they know they kind of put it out there to make you feel loyal and then they erase it, bury it, whatever. And then the next day they're talking about how you have to wear a mask because it actually has a physical effect on you. It has a physical effect. It's called making you sick, making you vulnerable, doing nothing to protect you against anything. Maybe a bacteria. So again, if I had a bronchitis situation, I'm coughing up constantly and I got to go buy groceries. Yeah, I saved, I guess I have four masks. I've never put one on yet. One of my favorite grocery stores just put a sign out front. They have not had the requirement of wearing a mask. When I walked in the other day and bought a bunch of stuff and probably 40, 50% of the store doesn't have any masks on. Like the people walking in to buy stuff and they keep lecturing us at the counter. Well, you know, there's a sign out, friends, and you're supposed to go. I was like, well, then you're not going to get any more of my business. You know, at most I'll have it shipped to my house, but that's about it. So this will be the last dark episode of this particular season. I'm trying to carefully pick the $4.99. Still kind of up in the air about what to do with that. $500 is going to be about Tesla. We're going to get into the death ray. We're going to get all kinds of cool stuff. So I'm going to review his entire life story and sort of the implications, because there's a lot of insinuations with Tesla that are simply unfounded based on all the information I have. Anyway, if you haven't been to deepthoughtsradio.com, please go. It's where all the feeds are. There's two video, two audio, four social media. Make sure to get, if you are on Facebook, you don't mind that apparatus. We have a locked group, so your comments and your world is completely protected. No one can see what you're doing, so you can say whatever you want, and your family doesn't see it, your employer doesn't see it. please answer the one question that says, please say something human. Just type anything. Type gobbledygook into the keyboard. But bots don't type anything, right? We have a couple of ways to donate to the show. You guys have been extremely generous. I super duper appreciate it. Patreon's taken off like crazy. We've had some drops in PayPal. We've even had people dropping PayPal and then going to Patreon as a full-timer. So I appreciate it. Y'all going to credits forever. There's a store. You can get a couple shirts. I said it would be over by the end of the month. That's not going to be the case because I don't think I'm going to get all these episodes finished by Monday. So that's not going to happen. So we'll keep all that stuff in there until this season concludes. I am working on a giant project that will become the intro for the next episode. So that's going to take probably at least another month and a half of 3D work and some other cool stuff. So I think you guys will really like it. We do have an all new remastered season one. It's on a different channel simply because I remastered them all. The links are still available on this channel. If you happen to find a hot link out there, you shared it a long time ago. I just made them unlisted. Please go to BitChute, Minds.com. At least those are two groups that I think deserve your membership because they're First Amendment protected. I do tweet every once in a while now, so I'm getting some new listeners from that artery as well. But anyway, take care of yourself and someone else, and I will see you in the next Deep Thoughts. Over now.